Well, I've been on a sabbatical over the summer, and over the last couple of weeks, I've gotten back in the saddle and super excited. It was an unbelievable time. I want to say thank you, by the way, for all those 3x5 cards that people wrote and just encouraged me. And it's just been an encouragement to read through all those. And I just want to say thank you for welcoming me back. I had high expectations on what the summer would be like, and they were surpassed. And I have lots to share about my experiences in the upcoming weeks and the ways in which God spoke to me during my time away. And the things that I plan to share over the next several weeks, I believe are going to bless you personally, and I think they're going to bless our church corporately. So I'm going to take the next 5 weeks, and we're going to work through a series that I've developed from the things that I've learned over my sabbatical. And it's going to be called From Rest to Revelation. I'm really excited about sharing these things. And it's just going to be a real exciting time for me to share the things that God has spoken to me about over this last three months. And what we see is that we see this progression in the Bible that when we have margin in our lives and when we rest, it creates space for us to hear God, to receive revelation. And so from rest comes revelation. And when we hear from God and when we receive his revelation, he calls us to respond. And so we see the progression from rest to revelation to response. And if we create a culture in our church and in our families and in our lives where when we hear from God, we respond, it eventually leads us to revival. And so we go from rest to revelation to response to revival. I'm going to talk about this next week and how for me I've been in this season of rest and revelation and I'm ready to respond. And perhaps it's difficult for you to create margin in your life in times of rest. Maybe it's a day off that is needed to create a time of rest to receive God's revelation. Maybe it's a few days off. Maybe it's 20 minutes during the day. Are you creating areas of margin in your life? Or are you so busy doing so many things, you find yourself, it's hard for you to hear from God because you're not resting well? We'll talk more about that next week. During my time at the monastery, I spent during my sabbatical week in silence and solitude at the monastery. It was incredible. It was a spiritual experience. I wasn't bored 1 minute. It was amazing. I'll share in the next few weeks some things about that. But I had a meaningful day that I didn't expect during my time at the monastery, and that is God spoke to me about the loss of my mother 3 years ago. It was a very difficult day. It was a day of a lot of tears, but a lot of healing. And I plan to spend one Sunday on how we handle loss and how God's grace speaks to us during our times of loss. And so I'm just really excited about sharing some of those aspects. There were a few other themes that God emphasized to me during my time away that I plan to share over these next 5 weeks, and I'm excited about it. So let me ask you a question this morning. Raise your hand if there's something in your life or if there's someone close to you in your life where there's an area that you want to see changed. Something in your life or something in a life close to you. Raise your hand if you want to see change. Yeah, my guess is everybody. Maybe you have a situation at work. Maybe you have a situation at school. Maybe you have a situation in your family, with your health, maybe with your finances, maybe in a relationship where you want to see change. And for many of us, if I were to ask you to raise your hand, in those areas where you want to see change, how many of you would say, I won't ask you to raise your hand, but it seems like it's almost impossible for that to change. My guess is that many of us would say, yeah, There's things in my life or things in the lives of others close to me that I want to see change, but it just seems like it's an impossibility. And we're faced with these kinds of realities all the time. And we see these kinds of situations all throughout the Bible. Seemingly impossible situations, and all of a sudden, change happens, and the impossible happens. And when the impossible happens, there are usually two things that occur. We do something to bring about the change, and God does something to bring about the change. And in most cases, it is the two of these things coming together. It almost always requires both. There are hundreds of examples in the Bible of it requiring both. Someone doing something and then God doing something and then the impossible happens. Let me just read for you one example from the scriptures. There's a guy in the Bible who's paralyzed and he wants to be healed so he can walk and he wants something to change. Does it seem like an impossibility? Yes. More than likely, he's going to have to do something and God's going to have to do something for the impossible to happen. And this is exactly what happens. He and some of his friends do something, and then God does something. And the result, his impossible circumstances change. And so if you brought your Bible this morning, I want to encourage you to look at Luke chapter 5. We're going to read the story, Luke chapter 5, beginning at verse 17. And I want you to know, as we read the story, what did he or they do? And then what did God do? And when those two came together, what was the result? Luke chapter 5, beginning at verse 17. One day Jesus was teaching and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. So they went on this little journey where they carried this man to Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed. The impossible happened. And they gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." Let me ask you, have you ever seen remarkable things? We don't know who initiated these. Maybe it was four guys who brought this paralyzed man on a mat, each taking a corner. We don't know who initiated it. Maybe it was one of the friends who said, "Hey, Jim, look, this man Jesus, he's a prophet. People are getting healed. I know you've wanted to walk. Let's take you to him." And then he said, "That would be awesome. Yeah, please. Would you mind?" "Sure." And they took him. Maybe it was initiated by the friends. Maybe it was initiated by Jim. I'm just calling him Jim. Maybe his name, I don't know what his name was. But Jim says, "Hey, Tom, there's this prophet named Jesus. I hear people are getting healed. I want to get healed. I want to walk. Would you mind
bringing me to him. Yeah, sure, Jim, let's go. Let's get a few guys and let's carry you.
We don't know who initiated it, but we know he and they took action. We know that they had faith because Jesus commended them for their faith. So here they're on this journey of making sure they're finding Jesus. They have faith. And then when there's a crowd they can't get in, they do whatever it takes. They are taking action. The man would not have been healed if they wouldn't have taken action. If you want to see a miracle, if you want to see the impossible, if you want to see remarkable things, how many of you want to? Raise your hand. You want to see miracles. You want to see remarkable things. We take our cue from the Bible. The Bible says you must do something. You can't just wait around and say, well, I just hope God provides a miracle. No, you need to do something. These guys did something. But the thing is, that's only half the equation. It's not like they could muster enough strength and enough action to twist God's arm so that he would perform a miracle. We can do our part. We can pray. We can pursue God. We can have faith. We can do everything we know God would want us to do. But the impossible circumstances almost always require a divine and sovereign touch of God. They beat the door down. They had faith. They did what it took. But alone, that would not make the paralytic walk. The only way he sees the impossible change is if both things occur: human action and then a divine touch. Jim, stand up and walk. And at that moment, the hand of God touched his legs. And he stood up, and they were like, the crowd was like, we have seen remarkable things. In theology, we call this the mystery of divine sovereignty and human responsibility. It's two sides of one coin. Let me explain. Divine sovereignty, it's an act of God by his own choosing. Human responsibility, an act of man by his own choosing. And when the two come together, we see remarkable things. Now, there are some Bible passages that emphasize God's divine sovereignty, acts that he does on his own choosing. There are other passages in the Bible that emphasize human responsibility, to take responsibility and to take action. And sometimes leaders emphasize one set of passages over the other, or another set of passages over the other, or sometimes entire theologies are built focused on divine sovereignty, or sometimes entire theologies are built on human responsibility. Because it's a mystery bringing them together, and we don't like mystery. And so we want understanding. And so we create man-made theological constructs to engage in the mystery. This was actually one of the themes during my sabbatical that God was really speaking to me about. Because I believe that God has grace gathering on the cusp of some remarkable things. And we need to understand how divine sovereignty and human responsibility come together in order to see the impossible. So I'm looking forward to spending one message during these next five on this specific issue. But today's celebration service is actually a case study of that. It's a case study on this theme of when you need a miracle or something that seems impossible, that change requires both human and divine action. Let me tell you the story. We were in the late 90s. Our church was growing out of our facility. Our facility was a couple miles down the road here on Moeller and Hartzell in New Haven. This facility was meant to house a congregation of no more than a couple hundred people. And we had tripled in size, all by new Christians. And we were a church of 300 plus, and we were still growing. And so we needed to decide what we were going to do. We had a sense from God that we were going to continue to grow and that we needed a new location to accommodate the growth. We had little money, but through some amazing experiences, we bought this land, 83 acres, and we were able to pay it off. It was absolutely incredible. It was a big deal. But it meant that we had no money and the congregation already gave everything they could, and so there was nothing we could build. And so we moved into New Haven High School. We were there for 4 years, set up and tear down every single Sunday. Myself and a few others spent a couple of years, 2 or 3 years, researching around the country about facilities and what we should build. And we decided that we weren't going to build a conventional church facility that would be used maybe once or twice a week. We wanted to create an environment. We wanted to create facilities that would be tools for relationship building. We wanted every room to be multi-purpose. We wanted the center to have a hub of relationship like a big cafe area. And so we set our sights by looking at all these types of facilities, and then we put together what we felt like would be the best tool for our congregation to accomplish its mission. And we didn't ask ourselves what we could afford. It wasn't about what we could afford. It was about the vision that God had given us and what that vision would look like if we put it down on paper. So we met with architects and we said, look, hey, we're just dreaming here. We're not worried about what we can afford. We're just saying, okay, well, God, what are you saying to us? What do you want us to build to be a tool for our vision? After a couple of years in the high school, we continued to grow. And then we were told that our rent, and I'll never forget this, we were told by East Allen that our rent was going to double next month. And so we were then paying like 60 grand a year just for a few hours on Sunday. And it was like a wake-up call to us, like, look, we can't just continue renting forever. This is getting super expensive and it's all just going nowhere. And so after a couple of years and continuing to grow and realizing that the rent was doubling and so forth, we knew we needed a home. We had land. We had no money. We had a pipe dream. And here's what the finances came back with this building that we wanted to build. It was going to be $4 million. You know, like $4 million. Yeah, like how much do you have, Mr. Norman? I have zero. Our church has zero. And what do you want? Oh, yeah, we want to build a $4 million facility. Okay, very good. I personally talked to at least 20 lending institutions locally and around the country, even lending institutions that exclusively focus on helping churches build their facilities. And all of them said, Mr. Norman, you are smoking dope. Well, they didn't say that, but they said the equivalent. You know, Christianese. But I got the point. They laughed at me. So a church of 400 people with an operating budget of such and such, with a savings of zero, and you want to build... Okay, thank you very much. It was great talking to you. So what did we do? Well, it wasn't like, okay, well, hey guys, let's have a fundraiser. We're going to put a thermometer up on the stage. Now, everyone just kind of contribute everything you can, and we'll take maybe one or two offerings a year and just, you know, give what you think you can give. And if we did that, if we did a fundraiser, I'm guessing we would have accomplished about maybe $25,000 a year by everyone just, you know, chipping in, you know, can you give a few hundred dollars? maybe 25,000. At that rate of 25,000 a year, that would maybe accommodate the interest of building a year. But we would get nowhere. So we knew, humanly speaking, this isn't going to happen. What we needed was divine sovereignty mixed with human responsibility that resulted in the miraculous, amazing things. What was our part? Well, here's what we said. Our part was simple. Three things. Pray, have faith, and sacrifice. Those three things. Pray, have faith, and sacrifice. And then we needed God to show up, multiply everything, and do what we could never do on our own. Then we came in contact with Grable Bank. It's IAB now. It was called Grable Bank back then. And they were like the first institution that said, hey, we'll give you the money to build the facility. We're like, you're kidding. They said, yeah, we'll give you the money. Okay, well, but here's what you're going to need to have. Okay, I'm ready. You're going to have $1 million cash. You're going to have at least another $1 million raised over the next 3 years. And then you're going to have millions after that. And then we'll give you the money. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen Dumb and Dumber. But you know, when it was one of those moments like, you know, some of my chances are like, what, one in a million? And so it was like, okay, Grable Bank, so you're saying there's a chance. That was the first time anyone said we had a chance. Everyone else laughed at us. Well, at least we know. So here's what we did. Humanly speaking, not going to happen. Fundraiser, nope. Everyone just chipping in, nope. Let's pray. Let's let faith rise in the room. And let's sacrifice and let's see what God does. So we said we want every family that feels prompted, not coercion. Just if you feel prompted to sacrifice for something, for sacrifice for this, then we want to encourage you to do it. If you don't feel God's calling you to do it, don't do it. But if you feel called, we want you to begin praying and praying regularly. And we want you to begin increasing your faith and allowing God to do that and then to sacrifice and then asking God just to multiply whatever we're able to give. And what we want to do is we want everyone to make a 3-year pledge. And this was above regular giving. This isn't your tithing. That's the operating cost of running the ministry. This is over and above that. Make a 3-year pledge, write it down, and in 6 weeks, we're going to have a commitment service, and we're going to ask you to turn that 3-year card in, and then of that 3-year pledge, give whatever you can financially of that 3-year pledge, and then we'll see what happens. We encourage people to give a sight portion and a faith portion with their pledge. What you can see on paper with giving, and then a faith portion, which you have no idea. And so I remember Kathy and I spending hours and hours praying over these 6 weeks, seeking God, our faith increasing. The week, a few days, I think it was a Friday before Commitment Sunday, we decided what our amount was. Here's the sight portion, what we can see on paper, things we can sacrifice. Here's the faith portion. We'll put those two together. That's our pledge for 3 years. She took a prayer walk. And she came back from the prayer walk. She says, honey, look, I think we should increase our faith portion. I said, okay. How much do you think we should increase our faith portion? She said, $8,000. I said, okay. $8,000, yeah. So we'll take that. We'll take what we've already, the faith portion we've already committed. The sight portion, we'll add $8,000, and that's what you're saying we should pledge. And she said, yeah. I said, okay, we'll do it. We put that faith, or put those two together. We made that amount, and we were like looking at that amount and thinking, this is crazy. I had always done my taxes. 3 months later, I just randomly decided to have an accountant do my taxes just to make sure I was doing things properly. 3 months later, go to my taxes. Actually, I took them to Warsaw and did them. The tax accountant said, Mr. Norman, you haven't been doing your child tax credit properly. And we can go back 3 years and you're going to get $8,000. I'm not kidding. The exact amount. We took a step of faith and it was the exact it was supposed to be over 3 years. Okay, well that 8,000, we already have a large faith portion that we're wondering. And we were able to give the entire amount that we pledged over 3 years, all of the site portion and all of the faith portion. And that last little $8,000 came just 3 months after we turned in our pledge card. And I'll tell you what, there were stories after stories after stories like that. And many of you in the room have similar type stories. We put together a little video telling the story of our congregation and our growth and so forth. Here's just a clip. Here's one of those embarrassing. When my kids see this, they're like, Dad, what are you wearing? What's wrong with your hair? All this kind of stuff. But anyway, here's just a little promotional clip that we put together during that time.
Realizing that everyone is born with a soul that will last forever, our vision as a church is to do all we can to reach people's hearts and change the destiny of their souls. Nothing matters more in the universe than where one spends eternity. Here at Grace Fellowship Church, our vision is very clear. We want to reach people with the gospel of Jesus, teach them how to grow spiritually, and then send them out to reach others. As you are about to see, our philosophy and means of achieving this vision is very unique, building relationships. We believe relationship building is the key to reaching people with the life-changing gospel of Christ. Here is our vision and our story. Grace began as a church plant in 1959 with just a few families. Remarkably, I'm only the fourth senior pastor the church has ever had. Grace has seen many changes throughout the years. Our name has changed, our ministries have changed, even the people have changed. But the underlying message has always stayed the same, transforming lives through the gospel of Christ.
My predecessor, Gordon Smith, has taught me that longevity mixed with integrity both influences the present and leaves a legacy for the future. He is certainly leaving a legacy. I've been here since 1995, but I feel as if I've just started. I have a vision for this church that's full of excitement, energy, and passion. I believe God has extraordinary plans for us as we commit ourselves to doing everything we can to build relationships with people, to reach them for Christ. We are moving forward with power as God is using us to change the very destiny of people's souls. GFC is committed to this vision, and we believe God is going to use this campus to turn thousands of lives to Him for generations to come. To God be the glory.
Yeah, that was fun to watch. So what we did was we spent 6 weeks as a church all together every day seeking God, focused on prayer, faith, and sacrifice. We were still meeting at New Haven High School. We had sermons, dramas, lessons, prayer nights. There was a farmhouse on this property that we burned down, getting ready to build. It then culminated in this Commitment Sunday. And again, we asked everyone who felt prompted to give, just an average congregation asking for the miraculous. And on this day, everyone who felt prompted turned in a 3-year pledge card and gave as much of their pledge of that first day as possible. Here's a clip from that Commitment Sunday that people were making their pledges.
We're told that most churches raise about 1.5 times their annual income over 3 years. For us, that means if we hit the national average, our total commitments over 3 years will be about $750,000. Out of the total commitments, the national average tells us we should expect to see about 5 to 10% of that 3-year commitment to come in as cash on First Fruit Sunday. Therefore, if we hit the national average, our First Fruit offering today, we should expect to be about $50,000 to $75,000. However, if you've been with us through this journey over these last few weeks and months, you will have noticed some very intentional and very unique things about this campaign. Our focus has not been on money. It hasn't been on fundraising or pressuring people to give. In fact, we have not even been tempted to go down that direction because we know that's not of God. What we've said is that this process that we're taking is as important, if not more important, than the financial results we achieve to build the facilities. Therefore, we've said that the spiritual process of seeking God, of growing in faith, of understanding the nature of biblical sacrifice, are actually more important than the money we need to build these tools, even though we understand it will take money. The process of spiritual growth has been emphasized more than the financial need of the project. Amen? Therefore, our focus throughout this campaign has not been on guilt, but on growing spiritually. It's not been on material facilities, but on ministry. It's not been on dollars, but on developing disciples. It's not been on fundraising, but on faith living. It's not been on pressure, but on prayer. It's not been on money, but on miracles. It's not been on reason, but on recognizing the divine. It's not been on satisfying comfort, but on sacrifice. It's not been on building our campus, but on building God's kingdom. We decided right from the beginning that we're going to do this thing God's way, or we ain't going to do it. And the spiritual rewards that we have seen because of doing it God's way have literally been overwhelming.
So we knew what we were up against. Okay, well, you're going to need $1 million cash, another $1 million over the course of 3 years. So that's a $2 million over the course of 3 years. And then, obviously, money well beyond that. And so we had these boxes. And each box represented $100,000. So we had everyone turn in their pledge cards at the beginning of the service, turn in their first fruit offering. And then it was all accounted during the service so that by the end of the service, we could make the announcement. Here's the total 3-year pledge. And then here is the money of that 3 years pledge that came in today for first fruit. So these boxes each represented $100,000. And I had no idea that morning what the total was. And so they were bringing these boxes out, and each box we would, it's $100,000, there's a $200,000, there, you know, there's a million, 10 boxes. Let's just watch as we brought those boxes out that morning.
$2,516,193.30.
It was an incredible Sunday. 160 families pledged $2.5 million over 3 years. If you do the math, that's an average of $15,000 per family. We had dozens of families that pledged $15,000, $20,000, $25,000, $35,000. That doesn't happen in the natural realm. And let's remember, that was above everyone's regular tithing. But if that miracle wasn't enough, we still needed at least $1 million of it cash, and we had zero money. And so that was counted during the service, and we had options if it doesn't come in. We have options B, C, D, which are all stages of this building. Like the minimum was just building this room and some bathrooms, and that was it. That's like, okay, if we can maybe build a couple classrooms. So we had B, C, D, all these options. This was obviously plan A, but we knew we needed at least $1 million cash. Here was the announcement that was made that morning on what came in that day for cash.
We have it, Chris.
Okay.
We have a new total on the three-year campaign.
Okay.
We missed one.
Okay.
That's the new total.
$2,523,393.30.
What are you saying?
Just in case.
What do you say?
Just in case.
I interpret this as good news.
You're going to about to interpret it as great news.
Okay.
There you go.
No joke. Better say it loud. We're all waiting.
The total first fruits offering today.
Uh-oh. New total?
Yep.
Uh-oh.
$1,167,855.
It was completely amazing. An ordinary congregation, 160 ordinary families, taking a step of faith, going on a journey, taking responsibility, but recognizing it's got to be God that multiplies and does what we can't do on our own. And when those two things came together, we saw amazing things. When you go through a journey, whether it's this building campaign or other journeys in life, and you see remarkable things, you know that we're not operating just on the human realm level. Even though that's where we spend most of our time thinking, there is a spiritual realm and level that intersects with the human realm so that remarkable things take place. It's not just what we see and hear in this world. And so this was a major journey of faith, and it wasn't about money. In fact, during the 6 weeks, like I mentioned in that one of those videos, we talked almost never about money. It wasn't about money. Money was just the tool of what God was doing in our hearts. And I'll tell you what, I know my wife and I mean, we give, you know, our tithe every Sunday and every month, and we've been doing that since we were married. We've never had a debate about that. We decided when we got married that we'd give our first fruit at least 10%. Of our income to God every single month. And when we decided that when we got married, we've never had one discussion since. Never had one debate. It's never been like, well, things are tight this month. Are we gonna? It's never been an issue, ever. We've always given it. 22 years, never missed one month. That's our first fruit regular offering. But what God was doing here was increasing our faith and showing us that we can do things that you can't do on paper or humanly speaking. And he showed our congregation, and I know that God has done a work with regard to the whole issue of money. We have freedom of money in this congregation. I've never, in 21 years that I've been here, I've never written a letter to the congregation saying, the giving's been down, could you please step up? Never one time. God's done something in us with regard to money. Most churches struggle with money. I met with our accountant when I came back on sabbatical last week, and we were talking about the finances. She says, over the summer, this summer has been the strongest financial giving summer we've ever had in the history of our church. I said, I'm taking another sabbatical next month then. You see the correlation. Sabbatical, you know, whatever. So anyway, it's amazing the way ordinary people at Grace Gathering give financially. I mean, we're on target this year to be the strongest financial year in our history. And last year was that as well. It's not about the money. It's about what God's doing in us. He's speaking to us. We're listening to him. And we're growing. You know, the whole issue of money, I think that, it's always an area of growth. But God's really blessed us, and we have such strong givers in our church and people who walk by faith and so generous above their giving. But God's doing so many other things right now with regard to what it means to walk by faith and not by sight, and to see God do remarkable things. And he's about to do some more remarkable things that aren't necessarily tied to this facility or money. He's done that already. And by the way, not only did we have that 3-year campaign, but we had another campaign and another campaign and another campaign. And everyone told us, oh, that was a great start, but you will have in your operating budget debt for the next decades, because every church has debt they're trying to pay off. And we said, no, we want to get this thing paid off and move on. And they say, it's a great dream. And no one said within 10 years you could pay the entire thing off. And here last May, we made our final payment of $150,000, our last payment, and now the entire thing is paid. The land is paid, and we are debt free. It's amazing. It is absolutely amazing. When I tell the story, no one can believe it. I have pastors that say, how did you guys do that? And I say, well, I'll tell you what, here's how we did it. We talked rarely about money. They're like, what? How do you raise all that money but never talk about money? Well, it wasn't about raising money. It had very little to do with money. It was about experiencing a work of God. Money was just the means. I'll never forget the day we took possession of the building. 6 weeks had gone by, and we were supposed to be in the building. And it was the very last week. We had told the New Haven High School that we were done. It came down to last week. We got possession 2 days before we gave ourselves a 6-week buffer, thinking we'll be in plenty of time before that. 6-week buffer. The Friday before we were able to be in, we got possession. We had to get everything in this building within 48 hours to prepare for the service. And on that Friday, we got possession. And here was a picture of the building the day we got possession. Let's just show it here. And that's not clip art, by the way. That's exactly what took place the day we got possession, 2 days. And it was God smiling on us and saying, I've blessed you guys. This comes from me. And we use this facility every single solitary day. New Haven High School uses this facility. The fields, they use the fields. The city uses the fields. I mean, all these rooms are used all the time to build relationships in the community, to house various ministries. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. It's everything that we dreamed would happen. And it's all God. God's hand of blessing on Grace Gathering is amazing. And he's got more blessings, and he's going to do more remarkable things. And we just need to be ready. Are you guys ready? I mean, I'm ready. Well, let me just close this message. Here's the takeaway. Here's the takeaway. Whatever's going on in your life, I just gave you a case study of when human responsibility and divine sovereignty come together. When we seek God, when our faith increases, when we pray, and God does what we could never do on our own. And so whatever you're going through, I want you to know, we're not just living in the human realm. There's a spirit realm, and we have to engage in the spirit realm. And the Bible tells us and teaches us how to do that. And this is a great opportunity for us to go back and reflect and say, thank you, God. We don't want to be like the servants who had the blessings. And Jesus came back and said, I thought I gave blessings to all of you. What about the others that I gave blessings to? Why did they come back and thank me? We want to come back and we want to say, thank you, God. And so we just say to you, God, thank you for what you've done. Thank you for answering our prayers. Thank you for showing us that you go well beyond what we can see humanly speaking. And I pray that this is a life lesson for all of us, that as we continue to journey in faith with our families personally and with our church, God, that you would allow this to be an experience that we would never forget. Whether people have been through the entire 12 to 14 years, or if you've been new and you've just come new to this journey, I pray, Lord, that you would bless us, that you would increase our faith in Jesus' name. Amen. And so what I'd like to do is I'd like to have just a few moments for just a few quick testimonies. We have two mics. If I could get two runners that could just help me with these mics, that'd be great. If I could just get a couple people just come on up here and grab one of these mics and then go on each side. So go on each side. Just if you just have a short, I mean, this is like a 30 to 60 second testimony of you've been a part of this journey, maybe the last few years or the entire 12, just how God has spoken to you. Just slip up your hand and we'll bring you one of the mics. Let's just start over on this side over here. Anyone on this side, just have a quick testimony of how God worked in your life during these last several years with regard to this this faith journey of the building campaign. Anyone on this side? Okay, I tell you what, you guys think about it over there. And then we're going to go to this side over here. Anyone just have a quick testimony? Just slip up your hand. I know there's a lot of them. Okay, yeah, just bring it over. Sue, if you wouldn't mind. Right, here you go, Brandon. Here you go. Hold on.
So when I made my pledges last couple campaigns, just God was faithful. Job changes, promotions, bonuses. Just seemed like everything came through. Trying to get myself on a budget. Dave Ramsey, Financial Peace University. Just the money came in, and it was nothing that I could have ever foreseen. It was just blessings with job changes, promotions, transfers, bonuses. It just all came in like it was supposed to. So it was great.
Yeah. Amen. Great. Someone else on this side. Yeah, back there. Sue's going to get her workout.
She needs a workout.
Just push people aside, Sue. You're good at that. Oh, no, I didn't mean, no. Hey, this is a celebration service. Come on, guys, let's go. Go ahead, Tony.
Well, this was the only campaign I was a part of. I started coming before this, but I'd made my pledge 2 years ago, however long ago it was when we did this, but leading up to this past May, I was only at like 10% of what I had pledged, and there was only 2 months left of that pledge. And the end of last year, I had to file bankruptcy, not being able to do it. But in those 2 months, I was able to give so much more than I had even pledged and complete it. And it's just God's provision. I mean, it's not just only in that, but in everything and how he's provided.
Okay, great. Thank you, Tony. Maybe one more. One more over here. One more on this side. Okay.
I just wanted, my wife and I are more new to Grace Gathering. And so we've had the opportunity to be through the most recent campaign. And I will tell you that it, just going through the past 2 to 3 years with everyone, we didn't make a pledge, but towards the last push, we were able to come together as husband and wife and really kind of join with and make a final contribution. But it was just so neat just to see what you guys had all done over the past number of years, and then for us to be able to come together as husband and wife and really join in on that. That was a really amazing experience, and just so I just want to say thank you for everyone that has been faithful and really put in heart, prayer, sweat, tears. And so I just want to say thank you so much.
Thank you, David. Okay, yep, got one back there. Tina's making her way. This isn't the easiest setup to, Yo's meeting her halfway. What a guy.
Chris, we got one over here too.
Pardon me?
Tiffany wants to speak after Yo.
Okay, gotcha.
I just want to notice this side of the room's looking pretty holy.
Yep. Oh, okay. Go ahead, Yo.
My wife and I, we came in about halfway through that journey, and so we didn't get to do the boxes and all that, so that's all fine. But the one thing, besides the money part, you heard something about that, that has changed me has been that I am no longer in the pursuit of the American dream. I am in pursuit of the kingdom of God. It's not about what's good for me. It's what's but good for the kingdom of God. That has changed in my world.
Yeah.
We just happened to be one of those families that was there for those little boxes being carried in. And I appreciate the symbolism of having the kids bring the boxes in, because a lot of those kids are still here.
Yeah, amen.
Okay, Sue and I have been with Grace now since about 99. I think it was July, somewhere in that neighborhood. And we were a part of the activity that went on at New Haven High School. And that was a Sunday there wasn't a dry eye in that whole congregation, it seemed like. And our tithing has been a part of our lives, our married life, for as long as I can remember. And what is amazing, when we did go over and above the tithe, how the money came in, and it wasn't always in a monetary value, but our needs were always met. And that's what's so amazing about it, because when you give over and above or when you tithe, the Lord looks out for you and your needs are always met. And that's what's so amazing about it. And it's really actually kind of fun to do that, because it's a challenge and it's a step of faith. But then you're amazed sometimes at how the money comes in so many different ways. And it's really neat. So.
Amen. Carl, thank you. Okay, maybe two more. Okay, right down here.
My husband and I were bringing...
Hold up, look a little closer.
Baby believers when we started coming here, and we came right before the campaign. So giving to us was foreign, quite frankly. And the whole idea of a faith portion was kind of inside joke for Jeff and I, like, yeah, sure, a check's going to come in the mail. But through this whole campaigns, many of them, we had a faith portion that we prayed about and came to every time. And God did provide every single time. Mm. And so I just, our giving has increased huge through these campaigns. And not just giving to the church, but giving outside the church as well, just trusting that the more we give, the more we get back. And it's just been a blessing to us.
Amen. Nikki, thank you.
I just want to say I am so blessed. I am a single man, a woman. Looking for a single man, okay?
We got you, Lori. You're covered. You're good.
Anyhow,
I've done it before, too.
Anyhow, the last campaign, I was just really, I was really struggling because I'm really struggling financially. And I just prayed and I prayed and I said, Lord, here I am. Use me. Mm. And I'm telling you, I don't know where that money came from. I didn't steal it. But but I was blessed with money, and I was able to do my campaign thing.
Amen. Is Gordon K. Smith here? Are they here at all? What's that? Kay's here? But Gord's not here? Kay, would you stand up? Gord is my predecessor, and Kay is his wife, and I just want to recognize them. Amen. Gordon and Kay have built a foundation here, and that's one of the reasons why we're actually where we're at today. So I want to thank them so much. Matt Marshall is here as a rep from IAB Bank. Where is Matt? If you stand up. Where at? Oh, back there. Okay. We want to thank... We want to thank them. They partnered with us. IAB Bank partnered with us from the very beginning all the way to the end, and they've been a joy to work with, and just really, really thankful for them. Well, let's go ahead and we're going to have just about 10 minutes left here, and then we're going to be finished for the morning. I'd like to have a time of response. Look, God's spoken, and we want to respond. And so I just want to ask you, what's going on in your life that you want to see changed, and it seems like it's impossible, and what has God said to you this morning about that situation and what he can do? Let's just spend just a few moments just in the quietness of our own hearts, and what I'd like to do is I want to have a time of prayer. And if you have some situations in your life, much like we were in, like, gosh, on paper, this isn't going to work. But then all of a sudden, God does amazing things. If you have some situations in your life and you're like looking on paper, it's like, you know what? I've been praying for a long time. It's not changed. It just seems like it's just impossible. If you have some things in your life, what I want to ask you to do is just respond. And here's how I want you to encourage you to respond. Just come up here and pray, and The prayer team will just kind of be walking around, just praying over, and I'm going to pray over anyone that comes up here. But if you feel like, hey, there's areas I want to see this type of incredible, remarkable things. If you have a desire for that, I know it's kind of hard with all the tables. You know what? At least you don't have to go through a roof. And so you can maybe work your way around some tables. Just come up here symbolically. Saying, look, maybe you're coming up symbolically because there's some things going on in your life that you want to see changed. Or maybe you're coming up symbolically saying, look, I want to see God do some things within this church and within our city and within the kingdom that can only be explained by who God is. And I want to symbolically come and pray. And so let me just pause for a moment, allow the Spirit to speak to you and emphasize to you the things that we've talked about today that he wants to emphasize to you. Where are the areas that he wants to speak to you about? Just spend a few moments just listening. So God, we are in awe of you. Amazed. We read stories in scripture about remarkable things, and then we experience remarkable things in our own lives. And yet we want more. We want more of your kingdom, more of your power, more of you in our lives. And so, Lord, we pray that you would help our unbelief, take away our skepticism, and may we as a congregation see more and more remarkable things. We thank you that the chapter is now closed as far as paying this building off. But now we're writing new chapters of remarkable things that you're doing within us corporately, as well as our own individual lives and families. And so we just pray and give you glory. It's all about you and your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. And so here's what I'd like to do. Just as we're going to sing a couple of closing songs, you come up symbolically, make your way up here in prayer. And we'll have, if you're part of the prayer team, just come on up. You're one of our leaders, one of our elders, spouses, staff, spouses. Come up and just walk through whoever's up here and just pray for them. But you come. You want to see remarkable things? You come. So let's stand together and let's sing these next two songs.